Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I will be absolutely candid. I don't know what just happened. I know that there was a bit of truth being taught and being spoken, and it seems like whenever that type of stuff happens, it just makes me wonder exactly what gives. But in any case, I digress. We did want to talk about one other story before we move forward this evening, and that other story was none other than what's going on in San Francisco, California. You see, San Francisco has painted themselves into a corner. What San Francisco did several years ago was they allowed their homeless as well as their people who were unfortunately struggling with drug addiction and other things like that to receive their paraphernalia given to them. And what I have right here is just a really quick rundown. Now, it's a rough copy, because I don't want to open up any more windows here on Blog Talk, because I just saw what happened. So I am going to just play a rough copy of basically what it is that I would have said had I been able to read the actual copy, if that makes sense. So we have all the lines open, but here we go, folks. Just listen to this carefully.
People were outraged and astonished when they found out that the city of San Francisco sponsored a program that gave out almost 3 million needles to drug users every year to help prevent the spread of bloodborne illnesses like HIV. And at one point, there was a group that was trying to make it easier for addicts to get their fixes by giving away crack pipe kits. And, well, they were successful. The kit included a small round piece of glass, a rubber mouthpiece, an alcohol pad, a small piece of steel wool that looks more like Brillo. The intention was to reduce the harm of broken crack pipes, which can cause cut lips and blisters that can spread hepatitis C and HIV. And just a couple of weeks ago, December 17, 2021, the mayor of San Francisco declared a state of emergency in the Tenderloin in an effort to bring down overdose deaths and violent crimes in one of the city's poorest, most drug-infested neighborhoods. Mayor London Breed said at a news conference that was attended by the chief of police and other health personnel that rapid drug intervention is needed because about 2 people per day are dying of overdoses, mostly from fentanyl, in the Tenderloin and the city's South of Market neighborhood. The Tenderloin has long been the epicenter of homelessness and drug use. A city official said the problem has worsened as the national opioid crisis escalated over the course of the pandemic. Quote, this is a public emergency demanding a crisis-level response with massive urgency, coordination, and determination to confront this epidemic, Breed said, adding that she hopes the measure will save lives. The emergency declaration will allow the city to cut through red tape that delays the public response to deteriorating conditions in the Tenderloin and quickly provide shelter, counseling, and medical care to people suffering from addiction, Breed and the other officials said. Breed's announcement comes days after she pledged to crack down on open drug use, brazen home break-ins, and other criminal behavior that she says has made a mockery of the city's famed tolerance and compassion. San Francisco is grappling with deep societal pains common to any large city. A high percentage of an estimated 8,000 homeless people in San Francisco, many of whom pitched their tents in the Tenderloin, are struggling with chronic addiction or severe mental illness, often both. Some people rant in the streets, nude and in need of medical help. Last year, 712 people died of drug overdoses compared to the 257 people that died of COVID-19. And now, critics say that Breed was backing down on a promise made last year to cut funding for the police amid a national reckoning of police and systemic racism. Well, Breed says, quote, folks can say what they want to say about this, going back on your word, this and that. But at the end of the day, the people in this community are not safe, and it's not fair, and it's not right, close quote. Narrator's note, I submit, young lady, that what's not fair is what Mayor Gavin Newsom from January 8, 2004 to January 10, 2011, Mayor Lee, January 11th to December 12th, 2017, and for a short time, Mark Farrell of January 23rd, 2018 to July of the same year, left you with a huge, large mess. And there's nothing you can do or say about it that's going to fix it. You see, the issues, madam, that you have right now are so deeply entrenched into the very fabric of San Francisco that, well, it's no longer the home of the San Francisco treat. It is the San Francisco treat. For Headlines with a Voice, this has been the Lockhart Perspective.
So you guys heard that. Of course, you guys got to hear it first. And I really honestly got to say that there's nobody that I would rather hear it first but you guys. I'm glad you did. What do you guys individually think about that going on in San Francisco right now? I submit that their issue will never be fixed. Once you've allowed something to go this far and you've ignored it for so long and you've helped facilitate it, how can you at the same time attempt to chop its head off? I think that if this young lady continues, she's only going to end up in one of two places, a pine box or run out on one of their rails inside of one of their boxcars. Anybody want to add to that?
So in the city of Toronto, we call harm reduction programs, became safe injection sites, that became consumption sites, and the duality of words like consumption and people in relation to opioids and that whole crisis, you know, that contrived problem reaction solution that treats the symptoms to feed the symptoms. And the, you know, the governance and nonprofits of the world that are anything less nonprofit that feed that duality in the narrative and what spits people out into our laneways at 4 a.m. that, you know, are hanging to life in the shadows of some of the largest scrapers, you know, in North America. Glaring where we're at. Very telling. Interesting, had we really taken an honest look at that problem in relation to governance in and among so many dollars and all that we were talking about in the printed dollars of all of that, where we'd be now in our COVID world, or where COVID world wouldn't exist, taking care of each other, you know, and face word and rubber hits the road and all of that.
I agree 110%. And I feel that the accountability should be left on the government of California for even permitting. You know, here's the deal. Here, this is an example, the prime example of what happens when legislation begins to govern human practices. This is a problem because the government there in California put their hand in an environment thinking that they knew what to do. Well, we don't want them to spread this or that, so let's give them this or that. We're going to give them these, and that'll slow it down. It hasn't slowed down. If anything, it's been the opposite. And this poor lady thinks that she's going to come in now after Gavin Newsom got the pot stirring. Prior to him, it was stirring. Does anybody else have any other comments on the topic before I go in?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Sure do. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Let's go back to the 1930s. Some of the stuff that I sent you from the drugs that they were creating, methamphetamines that were around since like 1938, Merck and Bayer creating cocaine, creating methamphetamine. It angered me so much when I saw what they had already created and already put into people's systems through chocolate, cola. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care if we kill ourselves. They don't care if we've got people hooked on this, that, and the other thing. I mean, they could have stomped some of this out in the 1940s. And they didn't. And I know about the experiments that they did with the homeless, with the prostitutes, with the black people, with the people that were in what do you want to call it? Geraldo Rivera did
a story on it.
Stories on some of the stuff. I don't have the words for it.
Well, you know what? If you don't mind, we've got 16 minutes left of this show because we had to literally do a brand new show, and I'll be talking to Blog Talk about why. The name of this one is actually What Just Happened at Blog Talk. That's the name of this one. But here's what I want to say. I truly and honestly want to bring Ronnie in on this because here's the deal. I've been a person that constantly says what happens in the spirit realm is exactly what we see that's now solidified in the natural. Ronnie, can you tell us what your thought process is on this topic that I'm about to give you? It's the same topic, but I'm gonna fashion it a little differently. The entities that hate Yah's creation, they inevitably understand our science or our chemistry or our biology as well, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
And so with that in mind, I say that for her to go all the way back from the 30s, and we can go all the way back with pharmakia being enlisted in the Bible and all of that, what is the deal with injectables, or what is the deal with that entity that would like to see harm? Can you lay that out for us and take as long as you want? We've got 15 minutes left in this program. But can you lay that out for us so we can just drive the nail home with understanding? Because to me, to see a government that even allowed these things and facilitated these poor people being hooked on this stuff. Here's the thing. Listen, I'm not benign to any of these things. I've had, you know, my very first husband was strung out on that. You know, he's dead and gone, but yeah, you know, I've known people that were strung out on different drugs, and you know, I've had to press through with children and press through with loved ones and family members that at one point or another have been affected greatly by this type of stuff. What is it with human nature and humankind, I should say, that the powers that be, because I go beyond the garden, want to affect us. What is this? Can you tell us what is this on a spiritual level, on a biblical level? What is this? And we're going to all be off mic while you take the mic.
Well, the thing about this is that, you know, it is definitely a blatant overreach from the government, but that case in point is extremely, extremely telling in and of itself. Like, how is this even possible? And then on top of that, why? Like, what's the underlying reason for all of this? And you hit it. You hit it plainly. It is a spiritual reason. And what's interesting is, where are we even getting all of these resources to be able to, you know, grow dependent on these things? Like, why are these things readily, why are they so readily and in abundance? You have to ask yourself these questions. Like, it just didn't grow from the ground. It's just, you know, it's not there. So who is behind it? And then this highlights a very, you know, this is just a small little window into a glimpse of what is, you know, most likely prevalent, large and abroad. And you also hit it on the head when you said pharmakia, because that is the key. That is exactly what all of this is. It's pharmakia. And of course, in the English, where we get the word pharmacy or pharmaceuticals, if you will, any conjugates of that word, comes from the Greek pharmakia, which actually means sorcery. And these people are chemists or alchemists. They're modern day. I mean, it's the same word. It's the same concept. It's the same practice. They're magicians via chemicals. And the whole idea, seriously, literally, is to oppress and subdue you. Subdue you at all costs. The powers that be give you your bread and your circus, and that's all they care about in order to keep you content and keep you, you know, in a submissive position to be able to tolerate or accept, to be able to accept their thumb, their heavy thumb that is laid upon you. So what's so fascinating about it is that we're in love with our oppressors. Like, what do you have for me today? What Tic Tac, what piece of candy do you have for me today? And we take it willingly. We stand in we come in hordes and stand in single file lines with our hand, with our gimme hand out. And we take it and we love it. And then we become, you know, subjected to what they have going on. But the ideal behind it, seriously, the scriptures hit it often, actually, or themes of it, is the Nicolaitans, the ones who have victory over the laity. Nico, meaning victor, the Laitans, meaning laity, the average folk, they have victory over you because you have allowed them the position that they have taken. And furthermore, it's an oppressive stance. It is clearly
an
oppressive stance.
And that's exactly right. That's you hit the nail right there when you said oppressive stance. For a city the size of San Francisco to decide on any level at any time in the history of the United States that they were going to facilitate people who are dying of this trash and give them needles and to sell it to the public as well, we gave it to them because we didn't want them to pass blood-borne diseases such as hepatitis and HIV. So that's why we decided to give them the needle as opposed to do anything else. We gave them these crack pipe kits, as the article I just read said. We gave them the crack pipe kits because we did not want them to cut their lips, thereby catching or having the availability to catch, you know, HIV, or again, not HIV.
It's a subversion.
You see, and so it's almost like everything they do, they sell it under the guise of we're here to help you. Don't worry, we're giving you everything we're giving you, and we don't want you to hurt yourself while you're doing your drugs. We want to make sure that we're giving you things like this. Now, I think for this mayor to actually take the stand that she takes now that she's in this, you see, because this is a woman, quote-unquote type of woman of color, as they call them. She's a woman of color, all right? I can't make what she is. She's very ambiguous at best, but the point that I do know is she's not Anglo. But they got this gal in there in San Francisco, and now she's in there. She's been in there a couple of years now. And now she's starting to see that this is going to reflect on her. So now she wants to come out and say, well, it's now a state of emergency. This has gotten to unbelievable reaches. It's reached unbelievable heights. We've got people, two people per day, the report shows. Two people per day are now dying of drug addiction. Now, I don't know how it is there in San Francisco, but I do know that two people per day is a lot of folks to die that are homeless, that are living out there, that are dealing with what they're dealing with. And I think that she didn't know one way or the other what she was really buying into. You see, they place a lot of these folks, especially those who consider themselves quote-unquote women of color, they put a lot of those people in those positions. And when they're in those positions, they really don't have any clue as to what they just bit off until it's too late. Until it's too late. So she literally had a press conference. I'm going to play the press conference, and I want you guys to listen to this. This is the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, as she declares a state of emergency. Give it a second to populate here.
We're in a crisis. And we need to respond accordingly.
From City Hall, Mayor Breed outlined that he now believes is an emergency in the Tenderloin. A spike in crime, open-air drug dealing, and overdoses at epidemic levels.
Too many people are dying in this city. Too many people are sprawled out all over our streets. And now we have a plan to address it.
She said over 700 people died of drug overdoses in the city last year, most of them in this neighborhood.
We can't wait for something to be set up. We have to move quickly. We can't wait until something goes through a layered process. We have to move quickly. Too many people are dying in this city.
Declaring an emergency in the Tenderloin would allow the city to cut through red tape on contracts and resources needed to address the issues immediately. It's a tactic the city used in the early days of the pandemic with a lot of success.
Speeding up the establishment of a linkage center that once activated, the site will connect individuals in crisis to resources like substance use treatment, counseling, and medical care.
Supervisor Matt Heaney represents the district.
I was here today to support an influx of social workers and public health professionals and treatment facilities and confronting this deadly epidemic as the public health epidemic that it is.
We asked Governor Newsom his thoughts.
I'd say about time. Drive through there and made that crystal clear. I mean, come on. That's why we have a component on drug issues. The fentanyl issues are very real.
Today's announcement follows one earlier this week where the mayor laid out a plan to flood the district with police and public outreach. The plan has its critics, including some who worry about police abuses of power. The Board of Supervisors would need to ratify this declaration of emergency, and even then, it must be limited to 90 days. In San Francisco, Christy Smith, NBC Bay Area News.
Okay, so now we just heard that, and we don't have much longer to go here together. But what I want to say is, and we can come back and talk about this, in the next few days or whatever, because it is an ongoing issue. It's an ongoing problem. It's a problem that will not change. I find the irony great when I hear Gavin Newsom even chime in. If you could have seen his face where he was looking down and going, you know, it's a terrible thing. It's awful. It's a terrible thing. Well, the deal is that it's him. He started it. He started it as well as everybody else there started it in California. So the problem that I have with the whole picture is now all of a sudden it's an emergency, and now all of a sudden the state of California, the city of San Francisco specifically, now has to spend all of these dollars to try to help the circumstance. Here is what I think. With only 4 minutes and 52 seconds left in this broadcast, I think that those monies that they set aside are going to end up exactly like the monies that they set aside in Los Angeles, California for the homeless. It's going to end up in somebody else's pocket. That's just it in a nutshell. It's not going to end up where it's supposed to end up, especially if we don't see the numbers change in the next 90 days. And I think it's deplorable. I think it's absolutely disgusting that we have anything to do with this as a nation. This is the sad part. Now, what is really behind this, to our point from our earlier conversation where we were talking and discussing this? If you remember what we were sharing about what could be real, what may not be real, what's a fallacy and what's not a fallacy, is this a fallacy? Is it a fallacy to get a hold of the dollars and move them in a different direction? Is it something that plays on the heartstrings of people and then allows them to feel like they've got something to say about the circumstance now that there is this state of emergency? I think it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting. And shame on Gavin Newsom with his warlock behind to stand up there and pretend like he cares. He don't give a rip. I have some hands raised. You guys going ahead and say what you need to say. We've only got 3 minutes left, but going ahead, 3 minutes in Radio Land is a long time, especially if we were off mic for that long. Go ahead, 607, yeah. Or go ahead, 647.
Yeah, certainly some scripted bad metaphor, you know, the dark matter duality of all of that. They feed that emergency. They feed, you know, feed the dragon, worship the beast, and wicking all that up in their opioid programs and their harm reduction, as they say, in the duality of that, and all that, and safe injection sites or anything less safe. And wick that up and call it out as they wick it up. And the guise of that virtual signaling, you know, do good, good community is anything but good community. Give them poison. When they come back for remedy, give them more. You know,
that's
in
amazing.
In spiritual, biblical, anthropological, spiritual road in days of that, in depopulation in the contemporary day and at our own hand from the garden, getting us to reach out and pick the apple, eat it, and feed it to each other.
Wow. Well, we've got another caller on the line that's just raised their hand. We're going to give them a moment. 562, we've got 2 minutes, and you can take one of those. Go ahead and tell us what your thoughts are on what's going on in San Francisco as it relates to this issue.
Just real quick, one of the things that I heard, one of the things that came out of their mouth was, once again, once vaccinated, then they would do these other things. It's just it's basically this whole thing is set up for kill shots, and that's all I have to say. It's just a way of feeding their beast, who they're sacrificing to, and it's just all a sacrifice. They're picking up whoever they can. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but you might want to do a show also on the elderly that have been being kidnapped of lately. That are coming
the
up
elderly.
Missing. I don't know how.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how does a 70-year-old man find his way away from his place of living, and he's 70, 80 years old, can barely move around, and he or she are finding their way 100 miles, 50 miles, 60 miles, whatever, away. You know, this is just a blood sacrifice. That's all it is. You know, it's just
agreed.
It's just a sacrifice, and that's all I have to say.
I agree. Thank you so much for that. You can stay on the line with us, but I agree with everything he says. Sure. We have about 60 seconds left, as you guys may hear as well. I'm not sure if you guys can hear the call out when the computer starts to talk. But we do have a handful of seconds left here on the show, and I wish this topic had been the one that we started with before we crashed here on Blog Talk only about maybe 30 minutes ago. But it is a very, very telling thing when a nation has any city or any state, any borough, any area that would actually facilitate drug addiction, and then only several years after facilitating it with different kits that help people stay on the drugs but, quote-unquote, do it safer. It's terrible when you think that we live in a nation that would actually facilitate it and then come back later and say, we've got an emergency, we need to make sure that we do something about this now. I am concerned at the fact that I don't think the dollars are going to end up where they're supposed to end up. After this, we'll have a few minutes left. If you want to stay on the line, we're going to do the outro, and please stay still, all the callers. Well, thank you. Thank you for those of you who decided to hang out with us for a few more minutes. This is sort of the behind-the-scenes moments, and I'm glad that you guys were able to stay. This is a very heated topic for me. I was raised in California, and I know that that particular area of San Francisco has always been a beautiful area. As a matter of fact, all of the areas of the Bay were once very affluential and very lovely, very beautiful. And the part that hurts the most is to hear and see stories like this, where you find that this poor mayor, and I say poor mayor because, again, I think letter A, she's either being used to say this so that they can funnel the monies elsewhere, or that from her heart of hearts, she really does feel like there needs to be an issue. But what I don't think she understands is the fact that this ball started rolling so long ago, and she had nothing to do with that ball, which makes me believe that somebody is pushing this narrative. I really don't believe that the monies that they say they need to help with the infrastructure to get this particular thing going is going to come to fruition. And if it does, I think they're only going to fix a few things, put it all in front of the media, and after they put it in front of the media, they're going to take the money and run with it. I do believe it. For those of you who have your hands raised, what do you think about that mindset that I just that I just spoke about? And when you speak, please remember to have your background muted, because everything you say does go back into our before we can edit it. It does go into the actual feed. I have 562-519. What do you think about what I've just laid out?
Well, one of the things I just I'll just say once again, these individuals, they are basically you know, this is just the way I've been feeding the beast. Like I say, you just look at the underlying throw-in. You and I remember we were kids. We went to up to San Francisco, you know, and I remember the place was so safe. Being up there at a family reunion, actually going from cousin's house, getting lost, not even concerned about that I was lost, and then eventually found where I needed to go. When I was like 13, 14 years old growing up there, so I say all that to say, the places has changed dramatic. I would be concerned if that was today, if it was one of my kids. And essentially, like I was saying, this is just them feeding the beast. The underlying current is And I know that's not the topic of this
No, it's okay.
Podcast,
it's okay because we believe that everything is in the spirit realm first here on the Lockhart perspective.
Yes.
So you're right in line. Go right ahead.
And, you know, basically the shots, and I won't really go deep off into that right now, but, you know, you hear the underlying thing, oh, yeah, well, after they're vaccinated. See, I saw this out here in Southern California along the freeways, and for those that have been out here, visited there, it's turned into homeless junkie nation along the freeways, along the pathway where the bikes travel through 710 and the 605 freeway.
Well, they've created a lot of the homeless.
Exactly. And what they were doing is they were just going out there setting up tables, giving people injections and so forth and so forth. So what I'm just trying to say is that I believe that all of this hits back to this inoculation of mankind and people. Essentially, it's time to reverse this thing and knock on some of these people's doors and show up. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and just get straight to the case there. We know what you're doing. We know what this is. We know what this is. We know what you're doing. We know who you are. We know what you are. It's just that simple. When you get in a punk face, when you get in the face of a bully and you say, I know who you are and I know what you are, and you just tell them that, they'll stop. The problem is the American people won't say that. They will not just stand up and just say that simple thing, I know who you are, and I know what you are. Mm. If you get enough of us to say that, it will stop within a month. I guarantee.
I agree. And, you know, may I say your name? Because I know your name, but we're on the air.
Sure.
Can I say your – all right, this is my brother Lee, all right? So I just want to say that, yes, when you get in a bully's face and you get right in their face, they have no idea what's going on. And who these people are really, really beta males and minor females. All of them are.
Yep.
And I've always said that if you can ever get one of them by themselves and let them know, yo, I see you. Mm-hmm. Don't you dare try it. You ain't going to do it with me. And I also feel like when we don't speak up, when we don't say anything, we're complicit. And they keep going because they say, well, you didn't say nothing. If you had said something, I would have done something now. Just like the devil, all they would do is come back another day, another way. But today, they're going to stop. And that's why I kept asking everybody, what do you think if we all just stop dealing with what they're dealing with now and only begin to, letter A, speak the word? If we only if we only spoke the word, and if we refused to say what it is that they're doing, maybe if we all collectively decided, even though it's like maybe 11 or 12 people in here, if we all just collectively decided to just speak the word over these situations, over everything that we touch, what would happen? That's what I'm trying to get everybody to see, is that collectively, if we aggressively approach this thing from a spiritual standpoint, I guarantee you, because they know who we are, that once we say it, they know they got to back up. Why? Because there are principles that are in place. I know a lot of people saying, well, I don't want to fight. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to argue about it. I'm just going to let it go. As long as we're safe, I'm all right. Uh-uh. You know, we have a brother to the show, Victor, and he makes this comment all the time, and he's like, you know what, it was okay when it was this person, and I can't say it the way that he says it, but it was okay when it was this one. This happened and I said nothing. This happened and I said nothing until they came for me. And then when they came for me, I looked behind me, he says, and there was nobody there. There's nobody there. And that's exactly what this is. Enough believers need to stand up and say, look here, this stuff does affect my front door. Even though we're sitting in the cut right now and it don't affect you directly right in your face, it does affect you when you can't go to the store and buy X, Y, or Z in a second without them saying, do you show X, Y, or Z? Now, last night on Headlines with a Voice on YouTube, we talked about a topic, and I saw some of the comments that came in, but I want to lay one of these topics out to you because I was dealing with the mRNA of the vaccinations that they have for cancer patients. Some of this stuff was launched back in 2015, and I believe, Rachel, you're
That's
responsible
it.
For giving me that. I looked at that. I read that. We did that. We dealt with it. But somebody and several people in the comment reflected on, I am legend. I am legend. Now, I kept trying to figure out how I am legend, fit in with the current status of what we're dealing with these shots. And it came to me
Legion.
After everybody kept putting a Legion, yes. Everybody kept putting it in the chat today. I am legend. I said, that's right. It did start on that movie as a cancer drug. And that's where this mRNA stuff came from, that they used it as a cancer drug. But it's still being injected in people. And people are still trying to figure out a way to gently get it. Well, you can just do the monoclonal, or you can just do this and that. No, you can't. Because there were only 13 people in the trial that I read about last night. There was 13 people in the trial. And out of all of the people in the trial, only a handful ended up with something positive. Not everyone had the same outcome. They needed to test it on a larger scale, the report said. So what do y'all think this is right now? If it's the exact same thing that they needed more participants for, come on, somebody. Somebody, somewhere, say something. Anybody, you can chime in right now. The lines are open. I'm going to open up all the lines. 416, is that okay with you? There's a 416 here. Is that okay with you if we open up your line? Do you have anything to add?
We'll just listen and talk.
Okay, no worries, no worries. So we have 647-757-562 and 607. You guys can add in, chime in, say anything you want to say. You don't have to give your name if we've not already said and you've not already given us your permission. But chime in, please, because I think that this is where the rubber really does meet the road, don't you?
Absolutely, it does. This is 562. Absolutely. And like I was saying before, the problem is, and you and I have had these discussions before, you have a real body of Messiah, body of Christ, then you got a fake one. And I don't need to go out and name names or do any, get into all of that stuff right now. I think there's a lot of people know who they are now, but saying all this to say, the position that they've told believers to take is a really a punk position. Don't do nothing, just say a few prayers, be a nice guy, be a nice girl. Don't worry, just stay in your room. Don't worry, just do this. Don't worry, just do that. Don't worry, just take this shot. Don't worry, just do this. That's the position that they have told us to take. And that is a demonic position. It's really interesting when you go into the book of Revelation, one of the main things that the Father calls out when he starts to judge and send individuals into the lake of fire, he calls out the coward. That's a cowarding spirit that's out there telling you not to stand forth and protect those that are weak, to protect the homeless, to protect the elderly, to protect the women, to protect the children, to basically what the state of California has turned into, where it has completely empowered the criminal. You have pastors that are fearful of speaking out against that, and those are hirelings. The scripture warns about those that are hirelings and whatnot there, because they allow the sheep to be ripped apart by ravaging wolves. And this is what we're dealing with right now in this particular time and in this time that we're in. So I just think we're going to see real shepherds rise up. And I think the other shepherds, because they're hirelings, eventually as the government begins to run out of money, they'll be out, because that's how they're being funded, obviously. Obviously at this present time, they're being funded that way, and eventually money, and we're going to see them quit. They'll go into just writing these feel-good books and things like that, and where they're always bashing their husbands, and they're always saying that the woman is the golden queen of the universe. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you
know
who I'm talking about, you know. And this guy, you know, he goes out there constantly bashing men, and if you look at the position that he takes, it's essentially right in line with what's over on, when you look at Black Lives Matter, what is it? Is it a direct attack towards men? And we know that men symbolize the Father. Ultimately, men symbolize the Father. This is a direct attack. It's a wimp way of Satan calling out, disrespecting the Father. That's what this whole thing is about. It's a disrespect against the Father, against the true living God. You know, I remember a church that you and I, we grew up at, and we remember there was a woman, our earthly father had saw a woman fall on the ground, her head busted right open, and blood went everywhere, was gushing right out of her head. And then someone began to quote a scripture from Ezekiel, and all of a sudden the blood literally started going back into her forehead, and it just shook and then flows right back up. I said, now, that is the true Elohim God. That's the true, that is the true living Father right there, okay? This thing what they're preaching right now is a homosexual God, okay? This is a Nephilim homosexual God that they are preaching. This is not that. That's not the God right there we saw that night. That's the true God of David.
Yep.
That's the true God of Moses. That's the true God of Peter. That's the true God right there, the 12 apostles, okay? This thing, what they're preaching right here, is a homosexual God they're preaching. This is a complete homosexual stance that they are telling men to take. And and it is a complete abomination. It is
That's
an
right.
absolute abomination in
That's
the eyes
right.
of the Father. You look at the pants. You look at all this stuff that they got men wearing now, okay? You got men wearing pants that women wore back in the early 90s and 80s, okay?
Yep.
How dare they dress men up like that? I will never, never allow my son to walk around like that. This is an attack against the Father. This is Satan making fun of the Father. And we have no shepherds. There are no shepherds that will call this out because they have sold out to the almighty dollar. So I hear people, and Father, forgive me if I'm in sin, but I got to say this. I hear people saying things such as everything, all the corruption that's been exposed, and maybe a few believers are talking about. They'll say things like, and I don't want to disrespect the system. Well, maybe that's for some, people, that's your fight. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. If we are in a building and the building is on fire, baby, you stop what you're doing. This is all of our fight. You understand me? This is all of our fight. They say, well, you know, no, I got to go over here and I just got to stand by the gate and, you know, and make sure, you know, the right people come in. Baby, this is it right here. So this is the nonsense that's been preached because this is a coward spirit. It is a coward spirit. This is how the enemy has been able to gain so much ground right now because people will not just stand up, get in his face and say, I know who you are and I know what you are. And that's all I have to say.
Wow. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff from my mama's body. From my brother. From my mama. Powerful stuff.
Lee lays it down.
That. Okay. Lee lays it down. Lee laid the smack down. I agree with that 110%. Amen. I agree with that 110% that, yes, it is. You know, because listen, here's the deal. You know, you got children. They're going to schools. You're going to deal with this in one way or another. How do you handle it? You got loved ones that need to go to get care because they're elderly. You're going to deal with this in one way or another. How do you handle it? You got people who you know that live up in the Sausalito County, the Marin County area. You got people that live in Oceanside, California. You've got family members that live in Sacra Tomato, as we called it. I've got family members that live in the San Francisco area. Eventually, they'll have to deal with something. Now, with my dad, who's in California, it falls on me. How do I deal with it? We can't live in a bubble. We try. But we can't. And so we, at least if we have not practiced what we're going to say, we don't know what we're going to say, we better figure out today what we're going to do because it will affect you. It will. And we need to learn how to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as doves. That's what I think. Before we close, is there anybody else that has anything else to add? Ronnie, do you have anything to add tonight? I think we lost him. But nonetheless,
no, I'm here.
You hear? You hear? Ronnie's there? Okay, Ronnie's there. Go ahead.
So this is my input. I think the panel laid it down quite well. So there's that.
Ronnie says there's that. And then how about before we leave, Brother Anthony, is there anything else that you'd like to add? And then Sister Rachel, how about you before we close out?
Yeah, good sister friend, Felicia. We live in, my opinion, contemporary fingerprints of Revelation prophecy. And, you know, this is once again at our own hand in the CDOT. You know, the world is awakened. Faith sees Lucy only every time. And the collaboration of that, Faith's eyes and see where we stand in all this, what time it is. And that collaborative moment, as I say again, the world is awakened. And pull that mirror up on them. Fella said to me once, you may not be able to save the world with a tune, Anthony, but have a say in its demise. How we feel in that. Once again, pull the mirror up on them. Thanks, good sister friend. Brother Ronnie, Brother Lee, good sister Rachel.
We so appreciate that. We appreciate your voice, sir. We appreciate you. Yeah. Sister Rachel, we're going to close it out with you.
Okay. A little bit of a different aspect on this.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and looked at California.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a quarter of the nation's abortions.
What?
Yeah, I sent you an article.
Okay.
But they are considered to be a quarter of the nation's abortions.
Wow.
And we know how Yah feels about that. And if a people don't respect the life of the unborn, they are not going to respect the life of the people who already are walking around. They don't care.
You better go. You better preach.
I always go back to how people look at the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
So if California, if it care about the unborn, they're not going to care about the people who are already out here and about.
Wow. Wow. I agree. You hit the nail on the proverbial head. The statistics that you've just shared tell us part and parcel that they're pulling the wool over somebody's eyes when they stand up and say, now we have an emergency. Now it's a state of emergency.
Yeah. 700, what'd they say? 700? Died
over 700 people in a year, more than the 257.
How many unborn babies did they murder?
Mm.
Oh, gee, you might fall under some judgment from your own actions.
Wow. Oh, wow. Eye-opening.
People who
wow.
have control over their own lives versus unborn babies who are at the mercy of
their host.
Yeah.
Because it ain't a mama.
So
they host.
Let's compare that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's compare that.
That's not to say that I don't have compassion for people who have found themselves addicted to things that they knew nothing about. They really didn't know the hold that they were going to come under. But let's not
that's
lie to ourselves.
That's a state of emergency. That's a state of emergency.
We have no respect for human life in this world. When we are willing to go into a mother's womb and destroy a life that cannot defend itself, and we call that a woman's right. Bull crap.
I second that. And if there's anybody else who's on the mic, all of y'all is open. You can second it, third it, all of that. I am so appreciative
Absolutely.
Of all of you guys. I'm so appreciative of you calling in, Rachel, you calling in, Lee, of course, my brother Ronnie calling in, and of course, my brother Anthony calling in, my blood brother, I'm going to say Lee. Thank you guys all for calling
blessings
in.
Blessings to you all.
Yes, blessings
Real
to you all.
Witness.
Yes, and I'm just glad that...
The voice in the day.
That's right, and I'm glad, you know, we get a lot of replays here on Blog Talk Radio. with the Lockhart perspective. And for that, I'm grateful. And so I will greet those who will listen after we are done to the show. I thank each and every one of you guys for being a part of it, even though you weren't here while we were doing it live. These conversations are conversations that I can't have elsewhere. And, you know, we don't go so deep that we can't have them here. But I just want to say that these are the real things where the rubber meets the road, where the life really, really, where life really is. I mean, this is the stuff that matters. And it's a shame that we're coming to a place where those of us who want to be free to say what we know is right have to be quiet. I refuse to be quiet. And so I therefore look for many different avenues for me to say the truth and speak the truth and say what I have to say. Now, if it comes that I'm not able to do it here, you all know, well, only person who probably knows firsthand is Lee, that I'll get on a soapbox and be in the middle of the road and I'll be doing it because I've done it before. And so with that in mind, I want to thank all of you guys for tuning in and sharing with us this evening, giving us all of your input. Thank you for Ronnie Mann, who gave us an exceptional theme song. We really have our own theme song. Hey! And I thank you for that, and I thank you for Joel 3. And we're going to close with my new song that you guys don't hear on the Lockhart Perspective or anyplace else yet, and that is Joel 3. Ronnie Mann, we're going to let you take it away with Joel 3. Do you have anything you want to add about this song to set it up before we leave, sir?
I wanted to add something as far as the epidemic that you were speaking on as food
yes.
for thought.
Please.
It's just very telling that in the year 2021 alone, there was 25 keys of fentanyl found in the tenderloin alone that they have uncovered or what have you. So what's fascinating is that it's not something that you can make, you can't MacGyver this stuff.
So you can't make it with baking soda?
You can't. This stuff is from the residue of, you know, the various ingredients that they use in the pharmaceutical companies. And so this is what I want to just, you know, leave you with as far as food for thought is, like, where is this stuff coming from?
CIA?
You tell me. I'm just posing the question. Yeah, I'm just posing the question. And it's not coming from your absolutely. But it's not coming from your everyday Joe Blow, street chemist, if you will. It's definitely not. It's being planted into certain pockets of society for,
test pilot.
I mean, let's just be blatant. It's a partial fulfillment in the grand many phases scheme of implementing Agenda 21. And depopulation,
That's right in line with what Anthony has always said, and that is that everything, really, the way that they set stuff up is all geared toward depop. There's nothing that they do that's not. And that's amazing. They could rid us of a whole lot of seats if they just drop dead. Thank you, each and every one of you.
They used to be out
here
in the open about their depopulation in the government.
Yeah, so I appreciate all of you guys. We've talked about some pretty hard-hitting topics here this evening. We've talked about the fact that Nancy Pelosi has just taken a whole bunch of money and poured it into a whole bunch of stock, including Alphabet, including the Roblox, including Disney, including a couple of other things. And she is the person who stood up as a proponent for being able to actually sow into things from Congress standpoint. So we've got a lot of stuff that we're going to be coming back on, talking about here on the Lockhart Perspective. Now, here we do not do regular standard New Year. So, we go regular. Sunday is our Sabbath. Tomorrow, which is considered Saturday, the 1st of January, we go hard. So we'll be here. 2 p.m. That's the time that we'll be here. 2 p.m. right here on Blog Talk on the Lockhart Perspective. I appreciate you, each and every one of you guys, for sharing with us this evening and for being here. We're going to go out with Joel 3 from Ronnie Mann. Make your decision. Make it now. Whatever you say you're going to do, do it now while we're in the valley of decision. Please remember that every time we close out on any of the Felicia Lockhart Group publications, we end it with this, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yah. You guys take care of yourselves first, and then take care of one another.
If you're gonna do it,
every time I hear that man's music, all I can say is, that boy bad. Thank you, each and every one of you guys. I hope you enjoyed that. Please take care.